2011. 2011 could be a disaster to today because Jerry told the guest it was okay to call on a cell phone, and now I think he's gone outside to call on his cell phone so no one sees him talking to us on the show. If there's any wind at all, we're going to have a problem. But I'll move on to my intro, and we can worry about that afterwards. Now, anyone who's been listening to this show recently knows that Maureen Sherub, the tiger mom of telephone sourcing, has a newly adopted son. Actually, he's more like a puppy she found on the side of the road. You see, Maureen lives in the country, and about a month ago, this young guy knocks on her door, a total stranger, and he says, "Hey, honey, I'm walking across America, and I want to set up my tent in your yard just for a day or two." And so she says, "Okay." And since then, she's been playing stage mom to this guy. She writes articles about him. She has him call into this show. And personally, I'm not that impressed. He reminds me of Forrest Gump. But now, she pointed out to me that there's an article about him in Forbes magazine. And it's by one of my Twitter contacts from Toronto. Generation Meh. M-E-H. Anyway, I took a look at the article, and this is what Nate, that's Maureen's little son, that's what he says. He says, "A big part of me doing this was so I could prove to myself that the people of America are good. All we seem to hear about is negative stuff, so I thought I'd just set out to find some positives for myself." Congratulations, buddy. When I was a teenager, yeah, there were a lot of people hitchhiking across the country. It was cheap, and it was easy, and it seemed like the natural thing to do. But when I was a little older, I met a guy who hitchhiked across the country when he was a teenager, maybe 20. He was a young guy still. Anyway, he told me that he was in a car with a lifty god. He was out in the prairies in Western Canada in the middle of the night. The driver pulls over to the side of the road, pulls a gun on him, and makes him walk out into a field and tells him to do something that he normally wouldn't want to do. This young guy, however, had some self-defense training, so he poked the guy as hard as he could right in the eye, and he ran away. And I've heard since then about a number of girls who were hitchhiking back then. It was cool, remember? And they had problems. And really, that's not so surprising. But the funny thing is, when I was young, I wouldn't have expected it, and I would have wanted to deny claims made by older people that hitchhiking could be dangerous. I was an idiot! And am I jaded now? I don't think so. I think most people are nice, just like Maureen. But you only need a few bad apples to spoil everything, and you have to watch out for them. And there's the proof. What about the head of the IMF? Everyone's been talking about it. I don't know if the story's actually true, but he was staying at this $3,000 a night hotel in New York, and he attacked the maid. And a few months ago, the former president of Israel was sentenced to 7 years for forcing himself on a member of his staff. And I suspect that this is the first time in history that these bigwigs can't abuse nobodies and get away with it. So here you have Nate. I don't know how I transitioned into that, but I did, and I'm going to wrap it up. Here you have Nate. He's happy because you can trust people, and I'm happy trust them, but you can control them now more than you ever could before. I know you're confused. I know I've gone on, but there was a special reason. I'll tell you later. Anyway, I think that's a typical generational difference between me and Nate. And when it comes to differences, there's one show that lets them all hang out. And Jerry, what show is that?
The Recruiting Animal Show.
Thank you, Jay! Oh.
had to do
I put
some extra emphasis in that because my brother Ben Albright is helping me with some projects over here at my corporate office.
Yeah.
And I want to say one thing about Ben before we jump into the show.
Yeah.
He was a recruiter with me as an intern.
Yeah.
He's the only guy I've ever seen ever make a placement on his first phone call.
Wow.
Sounds
you know
like
what?
A whole
there's,
an echo.
There's an echo. There's an echo, Jerry.
Not
there's
for
an
me.
Echo on your speakers. Yeah, it's you.
No, it's not
you.
Me.
Okay, we'll see. Somebody's got the problem.
No, I don't hear an echo. I
Who's
can't
that?
Hear the
Margo?
Echo.
Is that Margo ricking the show again?
Oh,
what's with
no.
you?
No. It's not Margo. That's somebody else's echo.
Okay.
Let's test out Alan here real quick.
Who's on a speakerphone? Who's on a speakerphone?
Not me.
Oh, it's probably the guest.
Not
hey,
me.
You know what? It's probably the guest. Hey, Alan, are you there?
I screened his technical platform last night. Everything should be okay.
On a speaker.
Oh, wow.
Who's on that speakerphone? Alan, the guest, are you there?
I'm here. Are you there?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can everyone else hear him?
Sounds great.
Sounds good.
Yep.
Yeah, Jerry's going to say it sounds great because he gave him the go-ahead. Okay, now, Alan, you have to step aside. We've got some other guests first, okay? I didn't know if you were... You were an unknown quantity to me, so I brought some other people to pad the show. First, Carla Porter. Carla's looking for Carla Porter, an old friend of the Recruiting Animal Show, not a regular listener or caller. She's a very busy woman up by that place where the office is filmed. Anyway, she's an expert with interns, and now she wants to get one of her interns a job, and she's called in to tell us about that person. Is that true, Carla?
That is true. That is true.
Okay.
Hello, everyone.
Carla_Porter, CarlaPorter.com with a K. Who's Carla? Who's calling on that crappy phone? Is it one of your interns?
No, my intern stepped out to get a sandwich.
She didn't want to hear about herself. Okay, go ahead. Tell us about the other one you want to get a job for.
Right. Last semester, I had a wonderful, wonderful intern from King's College here in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, Christina Tarnoff, and she is looking for a
How
position.
How do you spell her name? How do you spell her name?
Christina Tarnoff, Tarnoff.
And what's so wonderful about her?
She has a wonderful outlook, attitude, personality.
She's, you know, can you be any more vague?
Is she a team player by any chance?
Yeah.
Well,
it
was just the two of us, so I don't know if you want to consider that
what
a team or
not.
But
what kind of job is she looking for?
Yeah, she's looking in the greater Philadelphia area or southern Jersey for an entry-level recruiting or HR coordinator position. Preference would be recruiting.
You endorse her, right? You endorse
I clearly
her.
Do. I've given her an endorsement out on her LinkedIn profile and a letter of recommendation. She applies, you know, whatever you show her or teach her, she applies it immediately. She picks it up the first time. She's an independent worker. She comes back if she has questions, but she really rarely has them. So she's a quick
self-starter.
Self-starter.
Okay.
Can you reach me offline to talk about her?
Sorry, too many people talk.
Do you want to talk to Carla Porter? Carla, how can people get in touch with you?
Anyone can call me about Christina at area code 570-823-2101. Extension 116.
Okay, you're also Carla, KarlaPorter.com. Okay, CarlaPorter.com.
That's right, and all my right and the
yeah. Okay, enough. I'll lead the show, not you. Okay. Now listen, I just want to know what about these other Stevens? You had a couple of guys. I noticed that one of them took a job with Cherny Vitello, and now she's got a picture of herself and some young babe on the front of her blog.
Yeah.
Yeah,
what happened?
Yep,
what happened?
Well,
to him?
Stephen came back to work here in our where I live in our area at a firm called Huntsville Executive Search, and he is doing IT, primarily IT recruiting. So he's back home, and that's a good fit for him. His
Yeah, he's got like a nebbish personality, so he shouldn't be talking to people. Is that what you're saying? He should be IT recruiting. He's, you know, doing Boolean search strings.
He's doing really good. And then I had another Steve, because, you know, I was having all Stevens. I had this this thing going on with Stevens here.
Right.
And Stephen Palmer ended up in the greater Philadelphia area doing recruiting as well for an agency, and he loves his job. He's doing very well.
Has he made $100,000 in the past year?
I haven't discussed financials with him.
You know what? If he's making big money, have him call in. In fact, I'll have both of them call in. We'll try to set them up as guests in the future.
Oh,
just
that'd
one
be
more
wonderful.
Thing. What's your secret about interns? Since you think you got good interns, is it just that you select the right people? You've got a good selection mechanism, or do you lead them in a? Is it your leadership qualities that are great?
I would have to say it's a combination of both. I won't take someone who is wishy-washy or isn't really passionate or interested, and they're just doing it because they need the credits.
How do they show that they're passionate? They say, oh, Carla, I love HR. I love people. What do they do to show they're passionate?
Well, let me tell you, the intern that I have that went out for the sandwich, her name is Katie Klein, and she's new. I've introduced her to social media. She only really knew Facebook before. I have her helping me promote our regional job board.
That's how much Gen Y knows about social media.
You're right.
You got Carla, who's an experienced person, a seasoned veteran, has to tell the young folks about how to use social media.
Every intern that comes here, and we host about 6 interns per semester in various departments, from accounting to human resources to marketing and communications, different disciplines, we always
don't stretch
they
it
all
out,
pass
Carla. I got 2 other people
man,
to talk
what's
to.
What's going on
you,
here?
Okay?
I really like Carla, but
they all pass through my office, and they all get a rotation with me, and I make sure that they've got a LinkedIn profile. I make sure they're connected.
Okay,
I make sure
we
they
don't
understand
want to talk about that.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to give us a nugget of, you know, something that someone can use.
I have some cool information.
Give us one more bit of cool. I got to move on.
Cool information. I'm really, really happy today. I found out that I am going to be attending the September 30th Mobile Recruiting Conference in San Francisco.
Great. And if someone wants, then that's Michael Marley.
It is Michael Marley. And also, our job board solution for Northeastern Pennsylvania, I partner with Job Rooster.
Yeah, that's not of interest to me, okay?
They're
I just want to give
there.
Michael a plug. If someone wants to go, it's mrecruitingcamp.com. Take a look at that. mrecruitingcamp.com. Carla, it was great having you. Thank you.
Thanks, Carla.
Bye.
Okay, now we got Job Board Doctor. Job Board Doctor, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, you want to tell us about some new technology called, thank you, Carla, called Top Prospects or something like that? At Job Board Doctor. What about it?
Yeah, Top Prospect is kind of interesting because it uses greed to get people to refer their friends for jobs. So employers go onto the site, they put a dollar amount on a position, you know, like $10,000, $20,000. You refer us the right person. If they get hired, we'll give you the money. And then on your side of the fence, you basically sign in a Top Prospect using LinkedIn. They do a bunch of technical jibber jabber in the background.
Are you saying that Joe Schmo can collect a regular recruiter's fee by referring someone through this site to a company?
Yep.
$20,000 for a non-recruiter, someone who's not investing his whole life in it, just drops a name?
If it's the right name, they get the money.
Wow. And is there really big money like that, or is it more like $500?
Well, you know, it's kind of hard to tell, but they certainly have people on the site that are carrying around $10,000 checks and getting photographed with them. So,
Top prospects.
Everybody's a recruiter. Everybody's a recruiter. It's easy.
Job
or resume,
doctor.
Make millions.
Job board doctor, is that a big threat to people like Jerry and me?
Well, if it gets enough momentum going, I think it could threaten you guys, because it all depends on how big they are. They've got some pretty big name investors behind them, and there's some of the people that also invested in Facebook. You know, eventually they're not going to let the person that's referring it take all the money. Right now they are, but eventually they're going to start taking a cut for themselves, obviously. But you know, the thing that makes this really neat from my perspective, if I'm like the guy that's doing the referring, is it's super easy. I log in using LinkedIn, it pulls up everyone I've got in LinkedIn. It starts doing a bunch of mumbo jumbo in the background and saying, hey, there's 15 jobs here that match 30 different people. It seemed to match 30 people that you know. Do you want to refer any of them? Now, they do limit you. You can only limit you can only refer three people.
What is refer anyone? What, how do you refer? What does that mean? You're changing your story now. So they're going through LinkedIn. LinkedIn, I've got probably, you know, a ton of the same people as you do, and so do a million other people. What does refer mean? That you're calling Joe Schmo and telling him to call this company, send a resume in? What does that mean? Last thing. We've got to move on
actually,
to our guest.
It's actually, I think it's a little sneakier than that and a little smarter. Is, you know, they're grabbing the stuff from LinkedIn and then they're dropping it into their own system and saying, you know, okay, so here's Animal and he looks like he might be a good job prospect for this open job we have, which is worth $10,000. Do you want to refer him? And you say, okay, yeah. And you refer it, it goes through
what,
the top prospect system.
How do you refer the
system.
Guy? How do you refer the person when it might be someone you don't even know?
He was just saying that. Let
yeah,
the gentleman answer the question, please.
It goes through the top prospect system. So basically you say, I want to refer this person, and you essentially open up your account and saying, okay, I'm going to refer this person through. Top prospect grabs the person's name and contact information, sends it on to the employer. It's all blinded to the employer. The employer basically says, okay, I like this person. They interview him, and if they hire him, they go back to top prospect and say, hey, we hired this person.
So that also takes into consideration that the person's LinkedIn profile covers the right stuff.
Exactly. So a lot of this depends on, like, are you a super stud on LinkedIn and you've got millions of people and you know them all, or are you someone that's got 300 people on LinkedIn and you don't know any of them? You know, it's eventually you get a quality score from top prospect on who you're referring and how often they get hired. You know, it's very interesting. I suspect it's going to continue to evolve as they
yeah,
as
did
they
I
grow
miss
it.
Something? What if Jerry and I have the same candidate and they offer both of us to refer that person or the same connection and we both refer the person? Is it first past the post? Well, what's the story there?
That I don't know. I suspect it's first past the post, but I really don't know.
I see big problems with that. Anything
we'll,
else? Anybody want to ask?
We'll be reading this. We'll be reading this thing's obituary in about 13 months.
Alan, do you have
D-O-A.
A question? Alan Fuhrer, before you go, John North Doctor, Alan Fuhrer, what's your name?
Fuhrer, like Fuhrer Corporation?
Fuhrer, yeah. You know what? If you were in my neighborhood, you would have it sounds like your name is Fuhrer with an L in it. Hail my Fuhrer. I mean, that's what it sounds like. You should change your name to Fleury or something. That's just terrible. I don't know how you can live your life with that name.
About every 3 months, I'll get you. Take the L off that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get that.
Hail my Fuhrer. Hail my Fuhrer. Okay. Now, Alan, the guest, do you have
smiling
an interview?
You are smiling while you're saying that, Animal, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. I'm laughing my head off. Look, we haven't introduced you yet, but I noticed that on YouTube, you're actually talking about employee referral programs where the company gives every, you know, we used to have a radio station here in Toronto called Chum. And when I was a little kid, they gave out Chum Bug cards. It was the top 40 station or top 100 in those days. And so, you know, if somebody from the station caught you on the street and asked, do you have a Chum Bug card? And you had one, they'd give you a prize, a record or something. And so Alan was talking about this company that gives out cards to hand out as referrals. So if I see Jerry and I think he's good for Company X, I give him this referral card. And then somebody goes through the office and asks people if they got their Chum Bug referral card. And if they got it, they give them a prize. This top prospects is way better than that, right?
Yeah, it is. That was on the ER. That was one of the applicants to the ERE awards, and one of the things was the employee referral programs. I thought that one was kind of interesting, where at least the company is trying.
Yeah, I didn't ask for a verbose answer. I asked you to compare it to top prospects. It sounds pretty dinky. He's claiming this company's offering big bucks.
Hey, you know,
okay,
if top prospect is offering big bucks, great. I think it'll be, like he said, it'll be out of business in 13 months.
Okay, you know, I should have
Animal, it's just another one of these things, another one of these tools where they think that everybody wants to be a recruiter. And it's ridiculous. Recruiting is a whole different deal. It's not sending your buddy's list to an employer and all of a sudden somebody owes you $75,000. It's not going to fly. I would encourage whoever's dumping their money into it, open an agency.
Okay, Chubb War Doctor, do you want to sing before you go? Yes, you do, right?
You betcha.
Some Bob Mould?
Okay. What?
Yeah, right.
Some Husker Du?
Husker Du? I don't know any of their songs.
How about
let me just
Ramones?
See if I can find... Okay.
How about
okay.
The Replacements?
Alan, the
yeah.
Guest. Mein Fuhrer. Fleur.
You
yeah,
take
mein
the
Fleur.
Skyway.
Hey, we're going to sing Will You Love Me Tomorrow? Will You Love Me Tomorrow?
Way.
Hey, Jerry, please.
That wasn't me.
What? I need some girls to sing. Any girls want to sing? Okay. Who was
the animal?
For you.
Animal Ray
okay.
Ann wanted me to let you know that the echo and the lameness at the beginning of the show was her. Public
okay,
disclaimer
thank you.
By
thank
Ray
you
Ann.
For your, she is an honest woman. Okay. And in fact, we'll sing this then to Ray Ann. Does everybody know Will You Love Me Tomorrow, the lyrics?
What did you say, Jerry?
Will you love
okay.
Let's back
are
up.
You ready?
Let's back up.
What? We're just going to go. We're just going to go fast. We got to get moving, okay? Are you ready, Job Board Doctor? You know that song, Will You Love Me Tomorrow?
I do.
Okay. One, two, three.
Tonight you're mine. Completely.
You give your love.
Of the love in your eyes.
You know what?
But will you love me tomorrow?
And one of the ladies was really... That's somebody's theme song there. Who was that? Somebody was loving that one. That was coming from the heart.
I don't know. It might have been me.
That was from a German movie. That was from a German movie.
It sounded like it.
Kenneth Shigula. Okay, Job Board Doctor, thanks. You're welcome to hang around. That's very interesting. Thanks for sharing with us. I found it interesting.
You bet.
Even if they stink or they're not going to work, it's good to know what the competition is, and you told us all about it. Thank you. Okay, down to the guest, Alan Fleur. Are you ready?
The Fuhrer.
Hey, I'd like to dedicate a song to Alan Fleurer.
Yep.
I think we should start by opening singing Eyes Without a Face.
Like that. I don't know that song.
Your eyes without a face. Such a wicked face.
What?
Am
it's an 80s song.
I don't know that song. Alan, do you know it?
The Billy Idol, great song.
Okay. Okay, Alan Fleur, can you introduce yourself? Who are you?
Alan Fleur, senior recruiter, about 18, 19 years, specializing in technology, energy, and the top secret intelligence world. And what we do is we help the clients connect the dots to find them the right people at the right time to make their lives easier.
Don't give us that kind of crap. I don't know how you got the nerve to introduce yourself with that baloney.
What do you want to say?
I'm a recruiter. With 18 years experience. I work in the IT business. I work in financial, and I work in the energy sector. That's what you do, right? Okay,
thank you, Animal.
How come I always have to do it? You've got 18 years experience. I looked on the net. You've got comments on every blog giving other people advice, and you don't know how to introduce yourself. Shame on you.
Boo-hoo.
Okay. Okay, now I got it. Maureen sent me something very interesting, and this is how we're going to start the show. She sent me an article, Maureen, the Tiger Mom of Telephone Sourcing, namesourcer.com. She sent me an article by Ask the Headhunter. I'm not a fan, but he had, you know, he's going on and on about the ladders. And here's what he said. He said the ladders, the key to their success is that really they're a job board that promised only jobs over $100,000. And he says the reason they were successful is that salary is the number one question most candidates have in their mind. And it's the last thing recruiters want to talk about, so that's a gap that the latter's claimed they were going to fill. Now, the problem is they scraped jobs from all other, you know, job sites that weren't really $100,000 jobs. But that's an interesting thing. He's saying, and this Ask the Headhunter, Corcadillis guy, he says that this shows that there's obviously room in the market for a recruiting model that brings salary out into the open, that makes it the number one issue to start off with. Every recruiter says, don't talk about salary right away. This guy says, hey, that's what people want to hear about. Alan Fluter, what is the story from your point of view?
I think it's the third or fourth thing. I don't even want to talk salary for a little bit in the conversation. I
want
to get.
You don't want to, but what about the candidate?
If they want to, I'll talk about it. And the way I take it and the way I've done it and was taught is to kind of talk about it as a 10-lane highway. And at each step, we take away a couple of lanes, make sure we're still on the same page. And if they want salary to be first, great. That tells me something about them, though.
What does it tell you?
It tells me that if that's their first question and they're not looking or asking me questions about the job, the challenge, the culture, the project, the team, that tells me they're a little narrow-minded. Or it tells me I need to explore a little bit more to see where they're coming from.
I'm with you. Excellent answer, Alan. Excellent answer.
Okay, if you say they're narrow-minded, what does that mean?
Well, I'll give you an example. If I call Animal and say, hey, Animal, I've got this senior systems administrative job in Omaha, Nebraska, and the first two things out of your mouth are, well, Alan, what's the pay rate and what's the per diem? And I say, okay, well, here's what and I answer the question, and then you say, okay, and you ask me a couple more financial-oriented questions, like, whoa, don't you want to hear about what it is and where it is? Now, if he's in a real hot marketplace like the dot-coms were, okay, maybe that's valid, but if it's not, and the guy's only after money, if he's going to take this for money, he's going to leave me for the next job for money, and I'm going to have a pissed-off client.
Or he's going to stay right there for a counteroffer.
True.
Somebody wants more money, pretend like you're interviewing and
you know
get
what?
A counteroffer.
I don't see how that follows logically. The guy wants to make sure, first of all, that you're in the over $100,000 range. Then he's going to be happy to talk about culture and employment brand and all that other stuff. First he wants to know, look, are we talking the right kind of money?
Well, in that case, I'm going to put it back to him and ask him, what is he making, or will he at least give me at least a relevant range?
And what if he says, Alan, hey, why are you so coy about the salary? What are you hiding?
I'm going to tell you, I'm not coy about it. What kind of relevant range are you making right now? I'll tell you the relevant range we're working in, because it could be above, it could be below that if they fall in love with you.
Okay. You know, is he slippery or is it just me who thinks so? I know Jerry loves what he's saying.
No, it's just a fact. I mean, if someone's if their first question is, what's the salary, I'm going to ask, is salary your only reason for considering a change? And if they say yeah, I'll say, well,
yeah.
Here's your best bet. Go tell your boss you need a raise.
I think the second question is key, though, because if you guys are going into it with the assumption that if they have a number in mind, it's because they're narrow-minded, that's foolish. Because there's a lot of reasons why people are looking for – no, it is. Because these are people that are looking for jobs, proactively or reactively. They're looking not as a sideline, but for a reason to replace an income. So think about that, too.
Well, that's
now, I understand needing to make sure that the salary is in the appropriate target salary range. But it's usually the guy that's making $75,000 that says, I'd probably go over there for $90,000. Well, my client's not going to give somebody a $15,000 raise. It's just not going to happen, and I'm not going to participate. He's out.
No, I totally get that. But I think we get so much into our driving our own agenda that we forget what the job recruiters, what the job site is like from the candidates.
Okay,
It's bullshit. People put in their resume, and so they get all kinds of this crap from recruiters.
Hey, Emily,
okay,
you said no swearing. Is that rule off?
What?
Huh?
You said no swearing. Is that rule out now? Because I'm happy to participate.
Well, I didn't hear anybody swear. Maybe I was talking
I said a poo-poo word. Yeah.
Okay, well, Dawn, why don't you just introduce yourself? Dawn, hey, listen to me, everybody. Dawn, just give us your Twitter address so people who know who's talking, you might as well get some credit, good or bad.
This is Dawn C. Khan.
So how do you spell your Twitter address? Do I have to beg you?
D-A-W-N-C-K-H-A-N. Dawn C. Khan.
Thank you very much. You have a lovely radio voice. Okay, that topic's handled. Now, listen, Alan, guest. Okay, you're a member I found online of the Covina Chamber of Commerce. I want to know what you get out of that.
Stop there. Stop there. That's my father. My parents are divorced. End of subject.
Okay. Okay. So you're junior.
Hey, wait, let me help
you. No, I'm not, but close enough.
Okay, who's that person? Who's that person on the speakerphone talking in the office or something? I don't understand it.
Okay, I see this contract, though, say John.
You know, that's Kathy Manis, isn't it, Jerry? Jerry?
Kind of sounds like her.
That sounds like her for sure. Oh, boy. She said, okay.
Well, maybe she forgot we're open on her line.
Okay. Alan, you know, I got an audience that's interested.
Yeah,
they don't
want
to waste time. Okay. Phil Car, I gotta knock her off. What's the California area code? What's the area code in California?
What's the area code
in California? 215, is that her?
Oh no, I haven't. I wanted to talk to you about it. I didn't know you wanted me to
just let me try to get her. She gone 330, is that her? She gone? Yeah, I think so.
I think it's 913.
Okay.
No, well, she's not on it. I don't hear her anymore. Oh, yes, there she is again. She's wrecking my show. Don't these people know?
That makes them in the valley.
913? I don't see it. Oh, gee whiz. Okay, let me go on. 310, maybe that's it. No, that's... Okay, sorry, everybody.
310 is West Los Angeles.
You know what? I show her number as 858, Animal.
Okay, hold on. Sorry, everybody. You're listening to me and getting this crap. She's in Los Angeles. That must be her. Okay, so you said Phil Carson wrote. Are you with me now, Alan? Sorry, everybody. I can't help it. She's a regular. You think she'd know? Okay, Phil Carson wrote, over the next 5 years, half of all power engineers will retire. In the same period, demand for qualified power engineers is projected to increase. Right? There's a bunch of people going to retire. The demand is going to increase. And you wrote, I can't tell you how many meetings I've had with senior hiring teams commenting that they cannot find good candidates. Or they complain that the compensation rates are going up and they can't understand why, especially in this economy. You know? Like, what are they, stupid, the people you're working with? How come?
Yes.
They're in the business.
They're in the business, but they're at the senior hiring, not executive level, Animal. And what they're doing is, most of it comes from what they're getting paid, and these guys are 20-plus year experience at single or two companies for their career. They've moved up slowly. The market has passed them by, and the power industry and other industries are going to be just like the dot-coms, where you're going to have a guy, true story, in Wisconsin, making $1.50 a year. They want to hire him in California to just keep him at the same money. They're going to have to come up to about $220, from what I understood. And they said, well, we can't make that offer. I said, look, if you want him and it's important to your client and the revenue, make him the offer, because this isn't going to be getting any better. Or can we groom somebody? Is there anybody internally? Or can we look at a junior person and you can groom them? Because if you're telling us you need this profile, here's what the market is saying, and you can't buy a $2 million. You can come to me and tell me you've got $1 million to buy a house in Beverly Hills 90210, but if they're all selling for $2 million, they're all selling for $2 million, and that's what you have to step up to.
Okay, so you're willing to go really head-on with your hiring manager.
You have to. You have to in a situation
to.
Like that. You've got to bring business intelligence to the table.
Right, and what we'll do is I'll bring them a spreadsheet and say, here's – I've been in energy since the late 90s. Here's what these guys make. Here's what they are. Here's where they're at. Here's what they're working. Here's a spreadsheet of 6, 7, 8, 12 people that I've spoken with in the past 1 to 2 weeks. Here's what they're making. Do you want to go down this road, or do you want to adjust your job spec?
Okay, and if now you told me you do both. You work as an external agency and also on contract, just like Mike Astringer has done in the past, internally, as an internal recruiter. When you're hammering these guys and telling them, you know, that they're way off base, are you an external recruiter or an internal guy, or does it make a difference?
To me, it doesn't make a difference. One of the things everybody here might want to go find, and I can send it to you, Animal, if you want to send it out. It's an old document, but Deloitte wrote it. It's called Where's Your Workforce, the Talent Crisis of 2008. It's a great initial general doc that you can just hand them and say, look, here's what they said was coming in 03, 04. It's here. And you can also look at the fact that many companies, I've got three or four spreadsheets from companies that their average age, average, you know, name, length of service, age, the average age is 50 to 55, which tells you if that's the average, there's a lot of people older and they're going to be leaving. And
how do you know the average age of a company?
I've got spreadsheets from companies within certain divisions that have employees, name, et cetera, because I've been internal. And I said, hey, you know what? I need to ask some people who they know so I can go recruit even better for you. Can I get this and find out who's who? And surreptitiously, they've sent me this spreadsheet that has too much information on it. I'm a raw data hound. So when I see the ages, I'll run a quick average, and all of a sudden, oh, this company, the average age in the Western region is 54. Oh, God. And they're not looking at this?
Uh-huh. So companies are dumb is what you're saying, right?
I think many companies are big and bureaucratic, and they talk the talk, but when
That's
it comes
right.
to walking it, there's very few from a recruiting
okay.
standpoint.
Now, will you fire? What do they do when you talk to them like this? Do they say, Alan, I didn't hire you to, you know, talk to me like I'm a jerk?
I don't talk to them like this, but when I come to them with maybe the Deloitte study, maybe some other documents. We'll start talking about where you've been, what's going on, and how when they come back, and a standard argument on their side is, but the unemployment rate is X, why can't we find people? We'll say, because you're looking for somebody with 10 to 15 plus years experience who has this particular specialized skill or that experience. Well, all of a sudden, you've taken your energy engine, your energy advisory services pool, and now it's gone from, sake of discussion, 1,000, you want somebody with X skill, now that's all of a sudden that's 100, and you want them to have experience with this additional thing, well, that's 50. And now
okay,
they're all working.
Yeah, okay, we don't need all the details. What I
right.
want to know is, yeah, so how far? Do you win these arguments, or are you willing to walk away from a search if they're not reasonable, in your opinion?
We'll try and educate them to things, and there are times when we'll say, you're looking for God for $10, and God's a lot more expensive than that.
Uh-huh. Okay, and you'll walk away, yes? Is that a yes?
Yes,
I'll walk away?
We'll say, call us we want to give you good service when you want to do this in a nice way. You want to do this seriously, call us when you really want to go after the top people.
Okay, and have you ever had anybody, have you walked away ever, yes or no?
Yes.
And have you ever had anybody call you back?
Yes.
After they tried other recruiters?
Yes.
Okay. So you're saying, now let me ask you one more question. You specialize in the energy field. If you were a generalist recruiter and you'd made calls for 2 weeks, would that be enough information to go back to the hiring manager and say, look, I got a problem here. I've talked to 30 people and all of them are earning too much money? Or do you have to have a lot of background knowledge from constantly working in that field?
I think if you're a good generalist and you know how to find the information, Animal, you should be able to go back and be intelligible about it.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm just wondering if you can be confident enough saying, look, I've only been working the energy business for 2 weeks. Do I have the confidence to go back and tell these guys, yeah, this is the situation out there in the market? I mean, how much do you know after 2 weeks? Do you know enough? You're saying yes.
We had a client call us, this was years ago, had a client, got a referral for a meat sales manager that spoke both Mandarin and Cantonese, met with the client, went back to them a week later, said, we can provide the service. They were looking for 6 months. In 5 weeks, we had 3 candidates.
Okay, so you're saying a generalist recruiter can do a good job. Is that what you're that story is
I'm
telling me?
I'm saying
a
good generalist, intelligent recruiter should be able to do a good job.
Okay,
yep.
That's good. Everybody else says no, but it's interesting to hear you say yes.
Everybody else doesn't say no. I agree.
Okay, you agree
I
with them. Anybody
having
else?
The back. What I'll tell you, Animal, is having the background experience in the energy business that I have to be conversational is a different thing. But being, can you go back to the client and be somewhat factual and intelligible about it? Yes, you should be able to.
Okay, well, what do you go back to that conversational element of being a generalist. What's the story there?
I'll give you an example. In the energy space is, as many people might or might not know, has changed tremendously in the last 10 years. The electricity and energy business has gone through more change than in the 100 years prior. And there's a lot of things that I can talk about my experiences with certain companies, certain areas, certain expertise that other people just don't have, where you may have a lot in certain tech sectors that I don't have. And that's the part of the conversational that lends us to be more credible.
Okay. And how much money does that make you being able to chit-chat like that, knowledgeably about the industry?
Helps us get some clients. I think it helps establish us as knowledgeable in the business when we can start talking that we know a lot of, as an example, a lot of the Arthur Anderson people that were not around Enron, and we know where to find a lot of them, and they know a lot of people, so we can bring, this is how we can bring
you
people
quicker. Yeah, you're going off base. Okay, forget it. I just wanted to know how much more money, what percentage of your income would you say you attribute to the fact that you can talk the talk when you call these guys up? Yeah, I know all about your industry. How much percentage does that add to your income? As opposed to calling them up and saying, I don't know anything about your industry, but in 3 weeks I will.
There's all that much wrong with that, Animal.
Quite a strong presentation there, Animal.
I don't think there's all that much wrong with that approach.
There's not much wrong with it? Is that what you're saying, Maureen Sherem?
There's not a lot wrong with it.
Okay,
Alan?
Well,
if
you were in recruiting, Maureen, you'd see it a little differently.
Oh, sit down, Jerry.
I
don't think there's anything wrong with
Maureen,
my customer.
Laying down.
I'm willing to learn. I'm curious, and I will learn about your industry. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
It's not a strong marketing presentation point.
Oh, whatever.
Now, is there anything wrong with it? Maybe not. Is it a selling point? No.
It's how you get your point across, Jerry.
You're kind of scrappy today. Don't take
Alan,
it out all on me.
I like it when Maureen is scrappy. She's been too quiet lately. Alan.
Yeah.
Alan.
Scrappy.
Do you have a comment on what Maureen said?
I agree with her.
Okay, how would you present yourself as a generalist? He agreed with you, Maureen. How would you present yourself as a generalist to a client? If you don't have any experience in this area, but you want to work it, what would you do? What would you tell them? Like, because you have
to
ask a lot more questions.
If I don't know anything about it and I can have a couple of days to a week before I meet with them or talk with them, I'm going to do all the background research. I'm going to pull up as many trades as I can. I'm going to do my background. And when we talk with them, one of the things that I find very helpful, because even in the same industry with different clients, they all work a little differently, and they like to talk as much as we do. So if you say, look, I understand this is what is important, this is what you've told me, tell me like I'm a third grader, because I want to make sure I'm understanding what you really need. And they will normally start just talking forever.
Let me jump in. I wasn't saying that it's impossible to talk to a customer about your generalist background and approach. I was just saying that what Maureen was using as her presentation, I don't know anything about it, but give me 3 weeks and I'll sure know something, is not how I would go about it. That's all I'm saying.
No, when we got called for the meat sales manager, we had never gotten in that industry, so we called them up, went down and saw them, said, what's important? Why? What do you feel it is that you haven't found this person for 6 months?
Hold on a second, Alan, you didn't call them up looking for business. They called you, right? You didn't call them looking for a meat job that you never in an area you'd never worked in before. Now, I'm actually looking at one of your job descriptions online. I'm sorry, I'm a bit boring, but it's impossible for me to understand it. It says it's on this site called Military Officers Association of America. Military Officers Association of America.
MOAA. Which job is it?
It's there's no title for it. It's just called Job Listings for August 30th, 2010. Overall management of activation phase activities, understanding the level of detail required for development of a comprehensive activation phase schedule, oversight and management of the
Animal, hold on, Animal, is this listed? Can you email me that? That doesn't sound like something I put up.
Okay, it says please send resumes ASAP to Alan Fleurer, CEO Fleurer and Bridges, the art and science.
Animal. Can you email me that link?
I will. My point is, I'll send that to you, but my point is that there's sophisticated stuff in job descriptions, and if you don't understand it because you've worked those positions before, you have to tell the client, I don't understand this. Can you spend an hour with me or a half an hour explaining? And you're going to have to ask a lot of basic questions. Can you pull that off, Alan? Would you want to?
Absolutely.
How would they? Why? What if they said, "Look, I can call Jerry, who's had tons of experience with that." Why would they want to deal with you?
Why are they calling him then in the first place?
No. I'm calling about somebody. He's looking for business, not them calling him. Okay, that's entirely different.
Well, if I'm calling them, I better know something about their business first. I'm not going to make a straight cold call. Without having any information on them. I've been in this long enough where a lot of our business is referral, or somebody's just got one before the show started for some top secret work back east. And before I do it, I'm going to check out the person I'm going to be calling. I'm going to check out the company and get a little bit of background before I give them a call.
Yeah, but do you know anything about that kind of work? You said you regularly work in the top secret field, right?
Right, but I want to know a little bit about the company I'm going to be calling.
Hey, you know what? Is it okay to tell everybody you're working with top secret candidates? Wouldn't you? Don't you become a target for spy agencies?
No, not until you're directly on the. If you're on the project directly, you sometimes have to sign a document that says you understand you may be actively monitored and everything you do may be actively monitored.
So, like the CIA isn't listening to the Recruiting Animal show right now because you're on, are they?
No, every phone call you make, I'll tell you this, Animal, every phone call you make,
Animal,
every page you browse.
Nobody's listening to the Animal show.
I think Jerry's more closer to the truth there. Okay, does anybody want to talk to Alan? I've done a lot of talking for the last 10 minutes. Anybody else got a question for him?
Animal, are you still there? Animal, go ahead. Is there any questions?
I don't have a question, but I'm wondering if you agree with the statement that 80% of all businesses is the same, and it's about 20% in any industry that makes that industry different, and that you can pick that 20% up pretty quickly.
I think that the 80-20 rule lives, Maureen, and I think that you can pick up a lot of it. I think it's
maybe not
the
whole 20%, but you can pick up a good percentage of it pretty quickly.
You can be conversational, sure.
Exactly. And I think that's the point he's making, Animal. Is not to be put off because, you know, it's not an area that you don't know. And don't be ashamed of telling them.
Maureen, just to clarify, I'm not against working in other areas either. I mean, I'm all into it. I've made a variety of different placements over the last couple of years.
I don't think anybody's saying that, Jerry. I'm just saying what I'm saying is, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with telling a customer, you know what, I haven't worked that space, but I'm willing to learn. You don't
want to say it that way.
I would say it a little bit differently, Maureen. It's called sales. Okay, I'm in sales. I'm not
in sales all my
life,
Jerry. Don't tell me what sales is and what sales isn't.
Well,
I don't think there's any cut and dry line here.
Maureen, I'm just saying I would maybe consider presenting that in a little more exciting light.
I agree. Maybe consider.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying don't get the message across. You know, that's what I'm saying.
We're on the same page. There's no one way of going about this.
I would think that the
Travis.
I would think that the potential candidates. I mean, if you're talking to candidates and they're asking you what kind of experience you have in that particular space, I would think that that might be an area of concern as well.
But
how many times have you been asked that, Travis? I get asked that. I've probably been asked that 5 times in the last 8 years.
I would concur with those numbers in my sourcing business.
And I would third that.
Okay, Alan, I got a question for you. Just to wrap this off, I know I bored everybody. I'm just curious, can you visualize yourself saying, you know what, I'd like to work in this industry that I've never worked in before? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
How would you go about doing that, Al? Because you'd have to call, sooner or later, you'd have to call somebody and say, I want a job order.
Exactly. And what I would do is, first thing I'd do is I'd go out and look at all the trade brags, learn about being talked about. What are the big topics? What's important in the in whatever industry? Then I'd start looking at in those trade magazines. They always have where the people sections. I'd look at where are people going, who's bringing them aboard. I'd set up a Google alert. I'd set up an Indeed alert to see who's hiring and start learning about the terminology. What's important? Are the companies that write good specs? And then I'd start looking at the senior people. And where they are at companies, have they published a paper? Have they spoken or written someplace? So I'd get somewhat knowledgeable about the industry and what's important to them.
Okay, but that's a very general overall thing. What if you call up and they give you a specific job that has, you know, fairly technical language in it that you don't understand because you've never recruited anybody for that position before? You're going to have somebody explain the job to you in baby language, right?
No, I'd be on the internet while I'm talking with them, while I'm doing a full intake on them, and if they pop out a term that I've never heard, I'm going to be looking it up, so
you
know, I know at least
what
it is.
You're dreaming, Alan, because you cannot look up. If someone's having a sophisticated, experienced conversation with you, you cannot look up every word as you're going. You cannot look up a job function as you're having a discussion.
Right.
You have to say to them, can you tell me what that is? I don't really understand it. I mean, are you willing to say that? Would that work? Can you pull that off? That's what I want to know.
Absolutely. It depends how you say it. You say, you know what, can you go into a little more depth on that and tell me what piece of that is most important to you?
But Animal, do you have to say, boy, that really doesn't make any sense to me at all. I've never heard of that.
Right.
Or might you say, or could you say, yeah, help me make a few more notes about that.
Yeah.
Let's be a little more clear on that.
I like it.
Most good hiring managers they want you to do this, Animal, because having been internal, you're right. Most internal recruiters, they spend 5 to 10 minutes to get the job spec. And then they're kind of pissed when the hiring manager comes back and says, why am I not getting the right people? It's because you need to sit down with that hiring manager and go through at least once a full intake to understand what their department is, what they do, how they do it, where it relates, so you can really help dig in not only to the technical pieces of it, be it technology, finance, energy, whatever, but the soft skills. And remember, as any good manager has told me, I can teach the technical, Alan. I can't teach the soft skills. So if you find
somebody that's baloney. I'll tell you right now, the technical's the thing that counts, just like the money. And I have to tell you something. I just have an example myself. I've been working on a position with a big, reputable company. They pay 25% fees. The position's over $100,000. I could not talk to a hiring manager, and I was dealing with an intelligent HR person, but I couldn't get her to answer the specific questions I wanted. I couldn't get her to describe the position in baby talk, and I'd never worked that kind of position before, so I didn't understand it. I had to make a ton of calls, and finally, some of the people I talked to explained it to me. They said, the industry has this department, then that's what they do. Then there's another department, that's what they do. And a third department, and this person goes and gets all that information and then goes out and presents it to the client and tries to upsell them and all that stuff. It wasn't hard to understand once someone took the time to explain it. But companies will not take the time to explain in detail what they're looking for to a novice. It's very difficult to get that information.
Well, that's
in my
part of
opinion.
The process, Animal. That's part of the process. Your candidates will educate you about the market.
Absolutely.
But Animal, even when I'm working in an area that I know quite well, I don't make any assumptions about what are the qualifications, what are they going to do, how much of their time is spent in this and that. You know, I mean, I'm going to ask more or less the same questions, but I'm just not going to, if it's a new area for me, I'm not going to keep sprinkling and keep in mind, I've never done anything even close to this. This is a brand new thing for me. hang in there with me. I'm still going to ask my investigative reportering kind of questions till I'm comfortable with the knowledge. I don't have to keep reminding him. Now, remember, I don't know anything about your world.
You got to say
and
it.
Animal,
person,
I will
don't.
Tell you. I will
well,
tell
I don't
you
think there's anything wrong with saying it up front. But like Jerry says,
second,
you don't
Marie.
Keep reminding him.
Animal
but,
would.
I will
maybe.
Tell you, doing work internally, doing work internally, I have seen hiring managers, after they've gotten off the phone with one of the approved vendor recruiting firms, say, yeah, I was supposed to talk to this guy for 5 minutes. We talked for half an hour. He kept asking me questions. I really feel that he or she really knows what we're looking for. He kept asking good questions, and it really allows them to shine. And I'll tell you that of approved vendors on most companies, I would probably say 10% are doing good work, and they're always looking for new vendors, whether or not they'll admit it to you or not in HR.
Okay, now how come some companies then won't let you talk to the hiring manager? They have to talk to the HR person.
Normally they end up, what I have seen a majority of the time is the good recruiters get a hold of the hiring managers and then they do refer them to HR to get the documents signed if they can.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, my experience in this case was I spoke to the VP. The VP said, I have to work through the HR affiliate or associate or whatever it was.
Lady.
And then when I went back to the VP and I said, look, I needed these questions answered, and I didn't get it. You know, he just
well, then, then my question to you is that something you want to work on?
Well, you know, the money was good. It was a real job. They'd already made an offer to somebody, and it didn't work out for them, so I knew they really wanted to hire. Now, and the thing is, what Jerry was talking about just asking his standard questions, you know, when they're using certain terms, you have to say, what does that mean? They know right away that you don't know anything about that position. Is that okay, Al?
Right, but you just gave me a piece of information you hadn't said before, Animal. Let me ask you this question. When I come across that a similar, you know, we offered somebody, turned it down, or we didn't get them, do you ever go back and say, you know what, it's a small world. Who turned down the job offer? We want to make sure that we're not calling that person.
They sent me the resume with the name taken off. It wasn't hard to figure out who it was.
Oh.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Right. But then didn't that give you a treasure trove of information to be proficient to the job?
No.
What, reading
the
resume?
Was it a lousy resume, or did somebody – why not?
It was an offbeat candidate, first of all. And anyway, I can go into the details. But the fact is, I just want to know – I want to know from somebody, you know, if they don't understand anything about the position. And what did you tell me? You said, I'll read about the industry. And then I'll look up all the specifics that they're talking about on the Internet while we're having a phone conversation.
I won't say all of them. Not all of them, but you can look up keys when they make a comment about something. If they make a comment about a certification, if they make a comment. But if they're running down a laundry list.
I'm just dumb. Sorry. Let's move
finally,
on.
Finally,
okay?
It took us an hour. It took us an hour.
Okay. Now, here's another Animal, one.
Have you ever heard of a site
finally
called
beat back?
Animal? You ever heard of Wikipedia?
Okay.
Not WikiLeaks. Wikipedia.
You know, I didn't realize that you're right. The time's almost up. I only have time for one more question. Alan, you can come on another time. You wrote that in the recession, many companies denied their employees bonuses. Then when the economy comes back, they give the executives back pay. They give them the bonuses they denied them, but they don't do it for the lower-level employees. Those guys get frustrated and want to leave. Is that really true?
Yep, it's happening right now.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, and I will go one step further, Animal. You and some and the members here have probably seen the studies that about a year ago, 65% surveyed of whatever, 65% of American workers are actively looking to proactively leave their job in the next 12 months. I heard from one of the job boards, and I don't know if they're going to release this. I'd really like them to. They came out with a 92%. And I think it's tremendously related to what you just commented on, Animal. The executives are getting their pay raises now. They're getting their bonuses back. They asked they asked the employees to take one for the team. We're going to get through this together. Then we're going to benefit together. Now the executives in many companies are getting theirs back, and the people below them are not, and they're looking
around
going.
We don't have much time. I understood that. Don't repeat what I just said. Tell me, how should I determine if I'm dealing with somebody like that when I make a cold call? Should I say, you know, just did you get your bonus? They'll say nobody got bonuses for the last year. Should I then ask, did the executives get their bonus? Should I ask that?
Well, I'd start with your first question. Then I'd say, well, has that been standard? Are the executives getting theirs now? Are you guys planning to get theirs? Leave it a little more open, and they'll guide you to what's going on.
Yeah, stir the pot.
Or how about perhaps, Animal, use it as a way to begin talking about your client, okay?
Yeah.
And how would you like to hear about a company who has been paying their bonuses, Animal?
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
yeah,
you want to pursue
that.
All these things to where you're just you're. We only have an hour.
Yeah, in fact, that time's gone, Alan. You know, we didn't get that much. I had tons of information to ask you, and I went off on my own tangent. Would you like to come back another time?
I would love to. This was a pleasure.
Okay, do you have anything to say to our guest before I cut you off? You cannot stay on for the after show.
I cannot. Okay. I thank you, everybody. Maureen, we've talked before. Jerry, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Maureen.
Yes.
Have I offended you?
No. You can't offend me, Jerry.
Can I still camp at your spot from time
Absolutely.
To time? Absolutely. All I was saying there, Maureen, was of course you wouldn't tell. It's all our job. We're phone people. We're on the telephone.
Exactly. You and
so
I.
So it's how do you communicate things? Do you communicate them in a way that can be received as bad or
right.
good?
Right. It's how you
Ms.
put it across.
Yeah. And so
you and I are playing devil's advocate to Animal's recalcitrant attitude.
I don't see how the man makes a living. It seems like he is just he just questions every I don't know. I wish him the best. I really do.
Scratch off lottery ticket.
Quite a show today.
Wonder what he's going to do next.
Who,
I don't know, but I'm looking up recalcitrant.
Hey, let's jump right into the scores here. Maureen?
I thought it was a great show. I loved the guest. I thought he was terrific. Well, although we had a couple guests on this show, so where do we start? Carla
yeah,
was
the
good.
Other people were just fill-in stuff. We're just evaluating Alan.
I'm gonna give the show a 95 overall.
Oh,
I'm gonna give Animal 90. He brought it to the table.
How could Animal have gotten a 95?
Well, I'm not. He got a 90. I'm not judging him on his approach. I'm just judging him on the effectiveness of the show, and he brought it to the table today.
What did you learn from Alan?
What did I learn from Alan? That there are recruiters out there that think like he does, that aren't afraid to tell a customer, you know what, I'm not exactly familiar, I'm not very familiar with this industry, but I'm willing to learn. I like that. I like it when somebody comes to the table with their heart in their hand.
With
nice.
Their heart in their hand, oh my God.
Yeah.
I think
the point Jerry was trying to make is that a company, I think, would immediately question, why aren't we just going with someone who's experienced in this space rather than spending the time?
Well,
it's,
you don't
it's how
know
you approach
why.
It and how you sell, it's how you sell the idea.
A good recruiter.
I think.
But I think if you use the talents that a recruiter naturally has, that there is a certain amount of organic knowledge that we have that would apply to many types of positions if we allow it to happen.
Oh,
exactly.
Of course.
Exactly.
No, I got you.
You know, my point with this thing, though, is you need to somehow communicate that to your client.
Mm-hmm.
But rather than say, wow, I don't really know anything about this, you know, but I'm willing to learn. Okay, I'm gonna say, you know, it's refreshing. getting a little bit off to the side of my normal marketplace, and I look forward to learning all about this over the next couple of days. I'm pretty pumped up about it.
Okay.
Yes.
That's a whole different thing.
Jerry, I just to put this in a sourcing equation, I source across all industries, and people will call me and they'll say, I'm looking for, you know, whatever. And right. Have you ever worked that space before? You know, I've been asked that maybe half dozen times in the last several years.
Okay.
But I will tell them, no or yes, I have, but I'm willing to learn.
Okay, and not to disparage your industry, because it provides a key starting point for recruiting, but sourcing doesn't require the broader context of the whole career paths, challenges, what attracts this person to that role, industry. So it's not quite the same thing.
I understand what you're saying, but the soft skills can be applied.
Sure, they sure can. And you're doing great. You're doing great at it.
Thanks, Jerry.
Jerry,
that was sweet.
What a placating dude.
Not really. Jerry Moreno.
Who else do we have with scores here?
It's our Margo, Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yeah. Margo.
Okay, I'm going to give the guest 95. I wish he'd had more time, and I'm going to give him 90.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought that Animal did a good job today.
Good. What'd you give Animal?
So what'd you give Animal?
I gave Animal a 90, a guest 95.
Mm. There you go.
Yeah, copycat.
No, it's my
opinion. It's okay. Hey,
there's
you can do whatever you want.
Jerry. We should all write our scores down before we get into this.
I want to hear Nate. Is Nate still in town?
No, he's in Illinois. I think he's getting ready to pass into Missouri.
Oh, boy.
Are you following him?
Wanderer.
Let me know when he crosses the
Mississippi. Nate Walks America on Twitter. No, on Facebook, Nate Walks America. And where is Nate on Twitter? He's a lot of fun to follow.
Yeah. As if I don't have enough nonsense flashing in front of my face all day long. I need to follow
Nate
hoboing his ass across this country.
Nate is what?
It should be at Nate is unemployed. That's what
yeah, that too.
Or
but
anything but work, Nate.
Right. If I could walk across America and not work, it'd be awesome.
There you go.
My parents are quite proud, Nate. #. But Rayanne,
not an MD, Nate. Hey, hi everyone.
Come on, you guys. Come
no
on.
Prospects, Nate. NPN.
That's not true. I'm sure he will have
not.
Oh,
I don't have a girlfriend,
it.
Nate.
I'm sure the memoirs are going to be a hot
we're a
seller.
Family.
You guys don't
how he
know much about
for food
me.
And shelter
so
across this great, this once great country.
Hey, Mo, we're just like driving up marketing for him right now.
Yeah,
it's all PR.
I know, it's a platform.
There's got to be a little controversy, yeah. Rayanne,
where are
you today?
I am in Canary Wharf, London, England.
Cool.
That's where I am today.
What a great name, Canary Wharf. Why did
are you on Skype?
That? Cool.
Are you on Skype?
I dropped off Skype so that I could talk to you guys in the after show. I listened on Skype, but because it's 99 cents a minute for me, and I didn't feel like the animal show was worth $60.
But my show is worth a dollar a minute?
But
absolutely,
the after show is worth the animal show was worth 2.3 cents per minute, though. I will say that.
I might have to tweet, animal show worth
that's
zero. After show,
but my AT&T plan international rate is 99 cents per minute, so I called in on my cell as the animal show was ending.
Okay. So what are your scores?
I'm
going to
give, you know what? I really actually liked Animal more than I liked the guest today, so I'm going to give Animal a 90. I thought that his questions were driven, and he was trying to get to the point. However, he didn't understand it, but I think that his answers helped us understand it, or questions helped us understand it. So I'm going to give Animal a 90, the guest an 80.
That's an interesting statement, that his questions helped us understand it. That's very interesting.
I'll jump in with my scores real quick, just kind of squeeze them here in the middle. I thought the guest was pretty good. I'm going to give him a 90. He knows what he's talking about.
All right.
You know.
Wow, Jerry.
I'm giving Animal a 75 because
whoa.
Once again, I'm reminded how I'm sure Animal, with every client, reminds them how absolutely unaware of the entire industry that he is, and to just please bear with him as he tightens
That's
up the training
me.
Wheels, and hopefully someday he can
you know
score
what?
Some buzzwords across the desk.
It works. It works. I'm
That's
guessing that if you were blonde
charm,
bimbo, yeah, but if he were a blonde bimbo that was 23, it might work better for him. Like, you know, I'm kind of new to this, and maybe you can help me out.
Guys are always willing to help someone learn.
There
very,
may be
very,
something to that male-female thing. There may
yeah.
be something there.
That might work, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so, Travis, what are your big scores here today?
80s across the board.
Double ocho.
Wow.
Ochenta.
Yeah.
Double. Wait, how do you know how to speak Spanish
job.
In the middle of Indiana?
Well, I'm kind of in the middle of Little Mexico.
Oh, is that right? Avilla. I'm in Avilla, Indiana. Do they serve tortillas
I'm,
in Indiana? I don't think so.
I am Mexican.
And you're so
that's
full of crap.
Nice track, by the way.
What's that?
It's a nice bonus track I read today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Hey, I have to tell you real quick, while I'm here in London, I went to this
dollar
restaurant
a minute,
called
make
Oaxaca.
It good.
Okay, Oaxaca, which they spell here in London, a restaurant
type.
Called Oaxaca. It was a restaurant called Oaxaca. And they spell it here, Wahaca. So this was a,
those English.
It's really spelled Oaxaca, which they couldn't ever figure out. So they want people to be able to pronounce the restaurant. And they pronounced them fajitas and tortillas. I kid you not.
Oh, my God.
And,
is it English?
And they said quesadillas. I'm not going to eat anything called a quesadilla. Seriously, I'm
what,
not going to eat
make
one
you quesadilla.
Get on
exactly.
That reminds me of Napoleon Dynamite's grandma.
What did you eat, Ryan?
You want a quesadilla.
I had tostadas and I had potato taquitos. They were very good, actually.
Right?
The food was very good, surprisingly. Yeah. They said taquitos, so I had to tell them that's not how you pronounce it. You would get laughed out of Southern California if you called it a taquito.
What are you doing over there? Social recruiting, probably?
I'm working at Broadbean UK. We're developing a new website, absolutely, it has absolutely everything to do with talent community.
Okay.
I'm attending an incredible job site talent event on next Wednesday, right before I fly out. So I'm excited about that. So I'll be seeing Felix Wetzel, if anybody knows Felix, who is very active on Twitter and social media. And Scott Stratton, who's at unmarketing. At unmarketing, who's a presenter, as well as Amanda Height, if anybody knows her. So I'm excited about going to that.
Oh,
great.
Know them all.
I'm name dropping. That was me name dropping.
Sexy Thinker, isn't that her?
That is her. That is her exactly. At Sexy Thinker.
Kind of a presumptuous title.
We talk.
Presumptuous. Yeah. Who else has some scores for us? Cyber Sleuth called in. He gave Alan Fuhrer 98 and Animal 60. And then Recruit for
Stephen
You.
Stephen D. Davis gave you Stephen gave you a score, too.
95 for the guest and 90 for Animal. Anybody else? Don, are you still with us? Did you give us scores?
I didn't give scores, but I will.
Yeah.
I would say it was a great show, and I would say I would give them 85 cross.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Okay,
hey, big congratulations to Don also for having her husband join
Yay.
Her in the U.S. Congratulations.
Right.
Sorry,
yeah,
that
yeah.
Yay.
Wow.
He's home a week yesterday, and it's been heaven. It's the best feeling.
What a nightmare.
Congratulations.
It's the best.
Is he blogging anywhere, Don?
No. He can't be on a computer for more than a couple of minutes still. He's got a long period. Just because he's home, we still have a long period of recovery.
Is he interested at all in hiking across the country. I think we can get him connected.
I think,
just see the country.
I think he's going to stay put for a while.
He doesn't
your post
get to leave my house too far. Which one?
Over on Facebook about how the impressions and that's
it's
really interesting. I was hoping you would
you should have,
with that.
Yeah, we'll keep doing
that.
You should have somebody interview
him. You should have somebody interview him and then blog about him anonymously.
Oh, there you go.
You really should.
Well, we've done some video interviews too that he's going to be doing some more video stuff for me as well because I've got some social networking stuff. But it's interesting. They can fill up a tank of gas. I mean, they could fill up their car tank for a couple bucks.
Okay. Well,
that's funny.
Here's my fill up your gas tank experience today. and I'm sick of this. Okay.
Isn't it going down yet there, Jer?
Well, obviously not down far enough because stops at $75.
Yeah.
Do you guys have this experience where you are?
You live in Indiana, so you got to drive a pickup, right?
Yeah. I'm filling up, and it's at like $74.50. It like stops and then it goes real slow and inches up to $75 and cuts off. And so I went into the gas station lady and I said, you know, I would have bought more gas if you didn't have your machine cut off at 75. She said, oh, well, you can just ring your card through again. I said, yeah, I'm not into that.
Yeah.
They're so rewritten.
I don't think so.
She said, it's a federal law. I said, really?
No, it's not.
She said,
no, it's not.
Yeah, credit cards, because of fraud and stuff. I said, that's absolutely wrong. She
no,
said, well, some places it's $100. Mm-hmm. I said, well, you might want to think about letting some people get a full tank of gas into your gas station. Stormed out of there. Sick of it.
Oh, man.
Travis, has that happened at all or anybody?
Filled up for $40 this week, and I'm thrilled. I feel like I got a bargain.
You filled up for $40?
Yeah.
You're driving your lawnmower now?
You're driving
a
Honda.
It's a CR-V.
She's driving a Honda.
Yeah,
she's got to drive a Honda. That's a Honda.
Yep.
I got some gas for our push mower the other day and bought 1 gallon and was kind of taken back by the fact that it was over $4 to just
get ridiculous. A gallon
of gas. Yeah. That's sad.
For a push mower?
For the push mower.
That's funny. Hey, I bought an Oyster card for $25 and that'll get me through the whole 2 weeks I'm here. So.
Get a what?
An Oyster card, which is how you can get on and off the tube, which is the subway, for $25, and I won't have to fill up my Oyster card again while I'm here.
Well, that's
very
good.
Nice.
That's nice.
Very nice. Anybody else have any scores? Anybody?
Although there are bomb threats on the subway here, which is a little disappointing.
Well, you'll have that.
You won't need an Oyster card after you get bombed, though.
So, Rayanne, it looked like earlier you were having a glass of wine. Is that the case? I mean, it's after it's after 6 there.
It's it's 6:15 here. I'm on glass number 3, so it's all good.
What are you having?
I'm having Cabernet Sauvignon.
Mm-hmm.
You said that right.
And it's quite tasty.
Was it room service?
I had 2 years
or did you sneak a bottle into your purse?
I am not staying in a hotel. I'm staying in a serviced apartment, and it's way better than staying in a hotel.
Really?
So it's really nice, and it's actually more affordable. So I don't have to eat out for every meal. I go to the local Tesco and stock up on groceries and bring them home. I'm actually cooking some potatoes and bacon right now for dinner. So it's kind of cool.
Potatoes and bacon.
But European.
Hey, it's bacon. How can you not have bacon?
Well, I'm learning. Guess what happens when you marry a Muslim?
Oh, oops. I'm really sorry for your loss.
I'm missing bacon pretty bad.
I bet you are. Bacon with bacon old.
I'm learning that turkey bacon isn't nearly as good.
Oh, I love bacon.
No, not nearly.
You can always sneak
out.
No,
bacon is the best.
A little strange bacon.
I'm from the Midwest. We do sausage gravy, so I'm trying to do like turkey sausage gravy and
it's not gonna work.
Turkey sausage gravy.
It's just not as good.
I was a vegan for a year, and when I came back to meat, the first thing I ate was bacon.
love bacon.
Okay. With our love of bacon, now I'm going to go ahead and wrap up the show here because I'm in the middle of a ton of projects and crazy stuff. So is there anything anybody'd like
call?
To add at all?
Take a last call, Chair.
Anything that we didn't have a chance to cover? Any burning topics?
Anybody?
I miss the U.S. Out of the last 6 weeks, I've been outside of the U.S. and I really miss being home.
Oh, where's my tiny violin?
I will.
They beat the door to get in.
She's been dragged from a secluded Pacific island all the way over to London and
poor thing,
poor girl.
I actually, I wrote one of my posts this week was about being homesick, and I've never been homesick in my life until this week. I have been so desperately homesick. It's crazy.
Huh.
So I'm looking forward to being home next week.
Asia was
just
always
thinking how awkward you'll feel when you're at the restaurant and you get back and you order a fajita.
I will get laughed out of South Orange County. I will never say fajita in South Orange County, trust me.
I hope you all have a super time until we all meet again.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Have a great week.
Later.